Jake and Ben, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Let's talk a little Utah Jazz basketball. Let's get out to the Smart Rain special guest line. Utah will be in a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that 2022 budget planning for most businesses is coming soon. Take advantage of their Save Now, Pay Later promotion and do your part by saving water while saving money. Check Best of State Award winner Smart Rain at smartrain.net. Joining us now, of course, longtime Jazz assistant coach. He's our friend Gordy Chief. What's going on, Coach?
Guys, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, Coach, we're excited to have you on. We're excited to have you weekly going forward. We always look forward to your perspective. Give us a little the thoughts on the Jazz thus far, two games in.
They're playing very well defensively. That's the biggest thing. And their big guys, Jake and Ben, have been outstanding. Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside have really anchored the Jazz interior defense, and they both are rebounding demons, and that's been a huge factor because in reality, the Jazz have not really shot the ball well the first two games. They're only shooting 42.5%, which we know is dramatically lower, and even worse than that, with their three-point range, you're only shooting 33.7. So it's their defense and their big guys that have really flourished.
Defensively, on the perimeter, what are you looking for? Because that was the reason the Jazz got eliminated by the Clippers last year. They just couldn't battle that small lineup. And the Jazz have actually held, you know, it's not been the best teams, but some good players in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and De'Aaron Fox, who are, you know, borderline all-star players. They've had off nights against the Jazz through two games. Are you seeing something different from the Jazz perimeter defense?
Well, they're much more focused as far as ball containment, Ben, where they're in a stance and they either press up to try to get a different angle, or they press up and then fall back as far as a cushion defense. So they're playing much more angle positioning, and that's been very advantageous to be the second jumper on perimeter. So it's a concern that they've addressed right now for the first two games, and now going forward, like tomorrow night's game's been to be different now. It's going to be Jokic out there as far as on perimeter defense with the Jazz big guys. But the Jazz, in particular, have done a better job of focusing on ball containment.
Ben and I were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, Coach. Is there such a thing as not sneaking up on teams anymore? The Jazz having the best record of the league last year, they're going to get more teams' best effort, have a little target on their back?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody's ready for their...
And we lost Coach. Those clicks didn't sound good.
That was bad.
Those clicks didn't sound good. I thought, that's not good.
I like when it goes instantly to the dial tone. immediately.
It's down. And by the way, we usually talk to Coach on his home line. We're talking to him on his cell today because apparently Coach's power's out.
So we'll try and get Coach back on the line. I don't know if anyone can hear us back there, but we'll see if we can get...
It doesn't appear as if they're aware.
We'll have to send a text to one of the producers to say we'll have to try again. Or he'll call.
We hope.
Might be rolling solo here. We went back, and you know what impressed me most, Jake, as we try and deal with this situation here? Oh, we got him on the phone here.
Good.
Was the toughness that the Jazz showed, which is, you know, I think we can overrate that a little bit. You know, being the toughest team isn't always the best. You know, so some of the, you know, the Detroit Pistons teams that have won championships were certainly very tough, and that's not necessarily how you have to win games anymore, but that is one way to win.
Coach is back on with us. Sorry, Coach, we lost you.
I love it. I've often been lost, but always found. Thank you.
Well, we found you, and you were talking about playing with the target on your back.
Very much. So the Jazz know that, and that's what makes the other teams interesting, where the Jazz are ready to play against their A game because their opponents really want to try to knock them out. So it's a fascinating phenomenon that when you are a very talented team, that even lesser teams play their best game against you. That's what I always talk about, Jake, especially road games. Like, example, the Kings game. You know, the Jazz are losing during that game, then they fought back in the second half and outscored them by 17 points, the win going away. Now, in fairness to the Kings, they're a lesser team, but they did battle the whole night. And that's what most teams do in the NBA, that have aspirations to try to be an elite team like the Jazz, and that's what we have to do as far as compete.
One of the things the Jazz did poorly to open the game against the Kings was they didn't feel like they matched the physicality and the toughness that Sacramento came out with, who was playing really scrappy, and it was their home opener. I get that they were really energized. What really surprised me was the guy who ended up kind of getting the Jazz to that point was Hassan Whiteside, and I feel like the scouting report on Whiteside has always been he likes block shots, he likes the stats, but he doesn't like playing hard. And I haven't seen that through two games. I saw a guy who was really up to match the physicality. Have I just been wrong about him throughout his career, or is this a change? Is this growth?
There's a change of his growth now. Let's not forget, he's 32 years young. So that was that's been his problem over the years, is that he's inconsistently as far as effort. But for the first two games, he has played very, very well and has helped the Jazz tremendously the way they've battled on the boards, both him and Rudy Gobert.
You think, Ben and I were talking about this the other day, do you think, and we looked it up, he does have a good agent, but do you think the reason he came to the Jazz is his agent got in his ear and said, listen, you can play a key role on a really good team and get your game better, and that can kind of prop you up going forward?
Very much, absolutely. In the offseason, the agents drive everything as far as the player mentality. So his agent placed him with Utah Jazz basketball, where his role's defined, that he knows going in this season that he is the backup to Rudy Gobert, who's an all-star performer. And so there's no gray area versus, you know, the Kings. Do I start? Does the other big guy start with the Jets? It's a whole different thing. And that's why it will help them. Once your head is clear as far as knowing what your role is and accepting it, and that's the catchword, accepting it, most times you play better.
One of the things that the Jazz have done, and it helped with Mike Conley when they did it a couple of years ago, and now bringing in Rudy Gay, is they brought in some of these experienced guys who have won quite a bit, or at least been around the NBA so long. It just kind of, you know, adds a certain maturity to your team. Now, by the time your Jazz teams were making the finals, Coach, you know, John Stockton and Karl Malone were kind of the leaders, and everyone understood that. When they were younger in the early 90s, did you guys have to bring in veterans to kind of help get them to that next level, you know, the way the Jazz did with Derek Fisher when Deron Williams was here?
No, we did not, only because John Stockton was such an innate leader, in that he's when your point guard is absolutely command on the floor, that everything falls into place, both on the floor and in the locker room and on the team playing. So that even though John at that time was 26, 27, and Carl was 20, 25, 26, is that those guys were absolutely the leaders. Let's not forget also is that so much of your personality is from a coaching staff. So that era, there was only three of us as far as coaches, and we all worked in lockstep with the main players to create a culture. And that's the catchword. That's Jazz basketball right now, this generation, more importantly. There's a culture as far as leadership. Now, Rudy Gobert is absolutely a leader on the court and also off the court. Donovan has the most dynamic game and is also emerging as a vocal leader. Mike Conley, even though he's second year here in Salt Lake City, he's an innate leader. And I know all the toughness of Joe Ingles and Royce O'Neal. It's not one thing; it's everything. So the main guys are really have command of the team, and more importantly, that all the rest of the guys accept that and they flourish in it.
What's the next step in Donovan Mitchell's game, Coach? What do you think he has yet to improve on?
His shot selection. You know, he's shooting right now 35.7 field goal percentage for the season. And I know it's low. Most times he'll shoot between 44 to 45%, just generally speaking. What he's got to do is that figure out that to stay more balanced so he could shoot a higher percentage but still be absolutely devastating scorer if he can remain balanced. And when we say balance, Jake and Ben, we mean balance as far as footwork, but also mental balance, where that you just don't come down and fire like a 23-foot shot all because the defense backed off you. In other words, that's what we call a dare and stare, is that they're daring you to shoot and you stare them down. Even though you have a good intention, most times it's what? The back rim. And so his growth, again, slightly now, shot selection. You don't want to take away his innate ability to be in a strike attack mode, but it's that unbelievable, invisible gray area he can improve.
Coach, looking around the NBA, I know it's early. Most teams have only played two or three games, but the Lakers get their first win, but it took a lot to get there. The Nets are probably one weird Doc Rivers coaching decision in that matchup against the 76ers from being winless on the season. What has surprised you around the league? Who's playing well? Who's playing poorly?
Surprised in a great way, Chicago Bulls and the Hornets and the Wizards in the East. The Bulls right now, they made that leap of faith as far as adding DeMar DeRozan to the group, and also they're adding Alex Caruso off the bench, has played absolutely tremendous for them. And so it's that right chemistry, and he also added Lonzo Ball, who very much, he's a pass-happy, ultra-talented point guard. So they had three key components, and Zach LaVine is playing at a high level, thus they're 3-0. But the big thing about them, Jake and Ben, is that they're first in the NBA in steals. So they have 30 steals already in the first three games. So they're getting in the open floor. And just visualize the Bulls. When Zach's in open floor, so's Caruso's got some good hops. So's Lonzo Ball and then DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams and then steady hand Nick Vucevic. That's surprising. Hornets also 3-0, surprising. They always worked hard, the Hornets, as far as last year, but this year they've getting unbelievable good play out of everybody. And also, they've done a good job as far as making threes, and they take timely threes, and that's been a huge factor for their success right now. I think also, from the flip side of it, is I'm surprised right now that the Nets 1-2 is that James Harden hasn't got to the foul line. He's averaging a career low 3 foul shots attempted per game. So just think about it, Ben. We've seen, you and I have been set together up in Media Row, where Harden would drive to the basket at the three-point line, head and shoulder fake, and shoot three shots foul. Just visualize now, it's only 3 the whole per game for the first three games. The referees aren't giving them that call. They made that, the refs now, the NBA made that slight adjustment where you can't jump into the defense, and that's taking away a lot of his play. And also, they're letting so far. That could change. They want the game to be slightly faster, and they're not calling as many fouls. So that's surprising that the Nets, led by James Harden, has 1-2.
Coach, you have go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, just quickly. In the West right now, with the Lakers, they're getting really good play out of LeBron and Anthony Davis, but they need more from their bench right now. So they miss Kendrick Nunn. I know Nunn people don't realize he played for the Heat last year. He's been out right now. They miss his scoring punch off the bench, and that will give them the margin of error. Yesterday, Carmelo Anthony played great, 28 points a game, but it took John Morant missed free throw the last second to get the Lakers win. So I'm surprised Lakers and Nets that didn't take off as far as the season right now. Jake, my list right now, in honor of Joe Ingles, for the Jazz fans tomorrow night, listen here on 1280 The Zone. If Joe Ingles makes 3 three-point shots tomorrow night, which is absolutely possible, versus the Denver Nuggets, he'll get his 1,000 three-point career made. Jake, 1,000. So in honor of Joe Ingles, hit the top 10 NBA all-time leaders in career made three-point shots. Career now. Number 10, former Weber State great Damian Lillard, he's made 2,053 triples. Number 9, nicknamed The Truth, Paul Pierce, 2,143. Number 8, Jay Crossover, meaning Jamal Crawford, 2,221. Number 7, nicknamed The Jet, Jason Terry, 2,282 triples. Number 6, his nickname was Vince Sanity, or half man, half amazing, Vince Carter, 2,290. Number 5, former Jazz man, played for Utah Jazz for 4 years, Kyle Korver, 2,450. Number 4, we mentioned about 3 minutes ago, James Harden, the only Southpaw in the top 10 of all the time made three-point shots. He's made 2,454. Number 3, TNT star, one of the all-time great shooters, Reggie Miller, 2,560. All right, number 2, the world's greatest shooter of all time. It's not even close. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. He's made 2,846 and definitely trending up. And there's one key point about that. He's shooting 43.3% career from threes. And the number one player of the most made three-point shots, I had the privilege to coach him when I coached the Seattle Sonics back in 2006 and 7, and thereafter, Ray Allen has made 2,973 trifectas. And that's my list today, Ben and Jake, of the all-time NBA made three-point shooters.
All right, Coach. Well, we always look forward to having you on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Peace out. Stay well.
Number one on my list?
Uh-huh.
Coach Gordy Chiesa. Doesn't matter the list.
Numero uno.
Sitting next to Gordy Chiesa watching a basketball game is one of the great pleasures in life, if you're a basketball fan or not. It's just sitting with him and talking life with him, talking about whatever, on the floor, off the floor. He's just so charming and enjoyable.
You know, I produced In the Huddle with Scott Girard and Coach Gordy Chiesa.
Great.
It was fun.
It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun. I love Coach. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.